This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Right here, right now on the phone is the greatest mayor in the history of New York City, as I often say, the greatest mayor in the history of any city across this country. Now he's a rock and roll star on this station, 3 p.m. every weekday. Happens to be the father of my dear friend who co-hosts with me now twice a week, Andrew Giuliani. One of the men I really look up to and really love, as you do, of course, Andrew, the great Rudy Giuliani. Rudy, welcome back, pal. How are you?
Oh, nice to be with you guys, and happy birthday in advance, Andrew.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, hey, we're coming over tomorrow, if that's okay. I mean, you invite Sid open on air, but yeah, I haven't gotten an invitation in a while. Can I come over if I bring Grace tomorrow?
Only if you bring Grace.
Okay, well, I'll make sure. I'll talk to her.
This will be the first time in 3 weeks that I don't get an invite to Rudy Giuliani's house because the Giants.
Invited if you want to come, we can watch some football.
And this is just like Sid and Friends, right? You get invited three times, you say no. You're not getting invited back. So you better make sure you say yes on this third invitation.
Andrew, I'll have one of the boys visit him.
one of the boys.
Hey, coming over, Sid.
Yeah, that's all I need. I got Chris Cuomo and Rudy Giuliani looking to beat me up.
They get two for the price of one right here now because you got Sliwa in the other room. You got Sid here. They can get two for the price of one.
We do have two big football games coming up on Sunday, the Eagles and the 49ers and the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Sunday, I forgot. Last week it was Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. They're both Sunday. But before we get to all that, yesterday was the State of the City, Rudy, and I got to tell you, one of my favorite conversations I've had in my 25-year history of doing this was with you. A couple of weeks ago, you were very honest. I said, Rudy, if you took over the city when Eric Adams did, would it be easy to fix it? You said, no. You said, look, he's got a lot on his plate. There's no doubt about it. Now, you're critical, and he talks a bigger game than he's accomplished. We all agree to that. But you have been honest in saying Bill de Blasio really left this guy crappy city.
The guy was left with a very difficult, failing situation. The difference between him and de Blasio is, and that's why de Blasio didn't look so bad in the first couple of years, and it took a while. And when it unraveled, it just fell apart, right? The city I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So de Blasio took over. It's like taking over a company. Suppose you take over General Electric from Jack Welch. Mm-hmm. It took a while for his successor to ruin it, but he did. Right.
He did. Yes, he did.
It went along beautifully for a while. This guy has a situation where nothing's working. He was handed a city that was completely screwed up by a total moron. And I empathize with him putting it together. Now, on the other hand, he really, I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. The guy's not a professional politician. He was designed for a different profession, maybe selling used cars, because yesterday's speech was extremely damaging. It was a very damaging speech psychologically. First of all, you never bank. They used to call the mayors before me the Tin Can Brigade.
Right.
Because they would go to Albany and Washington with their little hands out and say, please help me save the city. Please help me save the city. Please help me save the city. I need your help. You're so important. I have to mention you 13 times. Like hell, the mayor has more power than the governor. More people know the mayor than the governor. And the mayor is more politically powerful, as he wants to be. What he did yesterday, he should have done the first day he was in office, when he was really popular and he had political leverage. Tells me he's not a really professional politician because he doesn't know how to really use leverage. He knows how to give speeches. It was a good speech. It wasn't a great one. He knows how to do shtick. He's terrific at it. But so far, it's been a long time, and he doesn't deliver.
Well, when you talk about leverage, Rudy, be really specific in what you think.
Here's the leverage. You got to be a tough guy. You got to say to the majority leader and the speaker, who really are running things, not her. She's, as far as I can tell, she's useless. They just overrode her and pushed her aside. The other two are the two you're going to have to work on. I would, if it were me, I'll tell you exactly what I'd do. And if they were Republicans, I go to them. I visit them. I say, hey, you know, we've been friends. I like you. I don't need this. My people need it, and my people are getting killed because of what you're doing. So this is not. This is no longer politics. This is real life. I'm going to spend an appreciable part of my time, if I can do every day, coming in your district and telling people they shouldn't vote for you.
Right.
And I'm going to explain to them in detail why they shouldn't. I'm going to, every time we have a murder or a terrible situation from somebody let out because of your laws, whether it's, lowering the age that you can be a juvenile and can get away with anything, or putting people out on bail, I'm going to come and I'm going to attribute to you. And by the time we're finished, they're going to figure out how many people you got killed.
You know, one of the places where Sid and I have disagreed a little bit on Mayor Adams' take on his trip to Albany last year, which Adam called, actually on Sid and Friends here on Wednesday, he called a victory, saying we got 8 out of 10 of the things that we needed to get done, except for crime we disagreed on a little bit right there. What's your take on that? Because I contest that the mayor had maximum leverage. You used that word earlier today, maximum leverage last year before a gubernatorial race. What's your take?
But this is like I feel like I'm teaching a class, right? That's why you're a politician. That was the time to do it. You got to know when you got the power, and you got to use it because you're not always going to have it. He isn't as strong a figure as he was a year ago. Mm-hmm. He's now a mayor who made promises, didn't keep most of them, doesn't seem to know how to get them done. And he's in a phase now where it's going to go either way. The second year is the year that decides whether you're successful or not. And then some of the things that he laid out are silly. I mean, if he gets 8 out of 10 of these, we lose unless he gets the one on crime. Now, the 1,700 repeat offenders, get them off the street 100%.
Yep.
But 500,000 new affordable housing units right now, when it's just going to be 500,000 people who are going to be victims of crime, those units are for affordable housing. They're not going to bring any – they're not paying the bills in New York. He should be focusing on projects right now that are rebuilding the city's financial base, so he has the money 3 years from now to pay for the affordable housing. He's not doing that.
I assume that's because we've lost so many taxpayers over the previous couple of years. Is that why you say that?
Yeah, and you got to stop. You have to stop the revolving process of losing them, which is you lose them, you raise taxes, and you lower services. Now you lose more. Raise taxes, lower services. You got to go radical. You got to really cut the budget 10, 15, 20%. And then you got to cut taxes. And how about this? You really do the right thing and you put in 5,000 more cops. He's down to 34,000 police officers. I had 41,000. And that alone is another reason why the city's in grave danger.
Yeah.
He wants to spend $150 million on helping people, you know, get over fentanyl. How about spending $150 million on getting it the hell out of the city?
Right, right.
And that does move the conversation to the President of the United States. This is the great Rudy Giuliani on 3 o'clock every day, the best mayor ever, and his son Andrew in studio with me today, and be back on Monday on his birthday. Joe Biden, he spoke again yesterday. I've never seen a guy. We talk about Eric Adams, for example, and he comes off a good rookie season. He says this is going to be his Aaron Judge season. So seemingly he's taking credit for stuff he hasn't accomplished, but I've never seen anybody like Biden.
Adams is a good performer, and he's compass menace.
But Biden has done less than Adams. Biden has destroyed this country because, again, de Blasio gave Adams garbage. Trump left this country in good shape, and it took Biden 1 year to destroy it. Right. So as bad as Adams is, if you think he's bad, Joe Biden's 1,000 times worse.
Oh, no comparison. It would even de Blasio in some ways was better. He didn't deconstruct it all at once. Biden walks in, and he canceled everything on day one. I mean, he canceled the pipelines. All of a sudden, we go from energy independent we've been working for 35 years, Republican and Democratic presidents, and he reverses it. Boom. Putin sits there and says, man, do I have a jerk in the – man, this is my time. This is my time. Yep. I'm gonna get on that horse again and ride all over America.
Yeah.
I mean, he reversed everything. The whole program of keeping the people in Mexico before they come into America – he actually got the basic guy's a communist, the communist president of Mexico, to agree to it. I know that guy. I work for him, believe it or not, and reducing crime. And he developed a great relationship with the guy. He'd get him to do anything he wanted. And I know that personally because I talked to him, meaning the president of Mexico. So who liked Trump a lot better than his ideological fraternity brother, because he could talk to him. Nobody can talk to Biden.
No.
Now Biden is a complete, absolute, unmitigated disaster. And it's not even close to funny. It's a tragedy for the people of our country and for us.
Do you think the classified and I haven't had the opportunity to ask you this in private. Do you think the classified documents are an inside job on Biden? You think it's a Democrat who's actually doing this?
You asked it the right way, Andrew. Do I think? Yeah, I think. I can't prove.
Right.
And I've been trying. You know, I tried from the very beginning of this. From day one, when I started putting the stuff out on Biden, which, believe it or not, goes back to 2018, I tried to always back it up with a document or two or three to show it isn't me. I'm acting really like I used to act as a prosecutor. Here's my evidence. Right now, I'm doing a program on WABC and on my show at night at 8 o'clock, which is on the social media. And every day I'm putting out a new, just this singular piece of evidence that proves that he's a major crook. So last night I put out the message he left for his son. He left a audio message for his son, basically saying, "I just read the New York Times article about the spy chief in China." This goes back to. Oh, gosh, when was it? 18, I think.
Yeah.
And he says, "You're in the clear. Give me a call."
Right. No, he actually said, "Love you" at the end. He said, "Love you."
And I love you. Somebody would love the bag man who brings you $30
million. Of course.
So what it proves unequivocally is he knew all about the foreign dealings. What is this garbage? I didn't know foreign dealings. He writes him if you didn't know about the foreign dealings, if you read the New York Times article, it tells you all about them, Joe.
No, we played that voicemail on this show many times. He clearly knows and tells his son, it's okay, you're in the clear. But I tell you what story made me think of you this week too, Rudy. All these years, whether it's Trump or you guys kind of go hand in hand. Every major story about a European country, Trump did this and Giuliani did that. And then just a couple of days ago, we find out that one of the guys who was knee-deep in the Trump-Russia... Right. Isn't it funny how all the people that have accused Trump and you, Rudy Giuliani, over the years of doing all these things, especially with countries like Russia, those are the guys that are guilty, not you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I should have kept it. I'm going to recreate it. When I met with Trump a couple weeks ago and spent time, I made a little chart. They're lying, we're telling the truth. And I got about five on there, where there are specific things they lied about us, and then it turns out 2 or 3 years later we're telling the truth. I mean, the Russian collusion being one of the main ones, or how about I was a Russian agent?
I saw that, yeah.
he accused me of that during the – I have the great honor of being mentioned in a presidential debate as an alleged Russian agent.
Go ahead.
And it's not true. And you never even get an apology.
Yeah. Amazing.
I mean, they go on to a new one, a new lie. You can't believe all the people I did business with I never met. When they were really going at it when I was representing Trump, the way they would hit me is, I didn't know this, but the FBI went and got all my records. I've been investigated for the last 20 years. And they would put out leaks. When they didn't know the answer to someone, they would say, he represented this guy, and this guy might be this and that and the other thing. It turns out the guy, you know, is a professor who was suing to try to get money back from a college. I mean, they defamed a lot of people. It wasn't just me. I just happened to be better known. But what they did is, it's like McCarthy, the McCarthy era.
Yep.
People would read up on that. the McCarthy era of going after communists on steroids.
Yep. Yeah, that's well said.
Well, on a lighter note, I'm coming over your place tomorrow night, but I'm coming from a child's birthday party, a one-year-old birthday party where I'm going to have 20 screaming kids in my ear. So I'm going to need a nice glass of scotch if you can pour me a glass of scotch coming over, if that's okay.
I'll tell you a bunch of stories of what you did. If you find it difficult or annoying, I'll tell you what you.
Yeah, right. You were no better, Rudy.
And then, you know, I'm glad your mother's going to be on Monday because, as I said, boy, she gets great credit for the two of you.
Wow, thank you. Well, you're going to be on too.
You're both lucky people. And yeah. I'm going to tell you one thing beyond her and me. And Sid, this is really true. You also need some luck in success with children. I've seen some wonderful parents, as good or better than us.
Yep.
And they'll have one kid, and the kid's a drug addict. I mean, it isn't always the parents. It's sometimes the parents try their best.
Listen, I'm living proof of that. My mother and father never did a drug in their life, and I went to rehab twice. Now, thank God I turned it around and proud of what I've done here now. But for a long time, I was a loser. I was. And my parents never did anything like that. So you're right. You need some luck along the way, too. But you and Donna did a great job with this kid. And you'll both be on the show on Monday. Have a great weekend, Rudy. Enjoy the football. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
Yeah. You want to come over on Saturday? You're welcome.
It's Sunday. Don't invite him a third time. I'll come Saturday, but the game's Sunday.
You come Saturday night. We'll watch a movie together. We'll snuggle up.
There you go.
Watch a movie.
Thank you, Rudy. Check out Rudy at 3 o'clock this afternoon and every weekday afternoon on WABC. He really is tremendous.